There are numerous miracles recorded in Scripture, beginning all the way back from Genesis and the creation of the world. God spoke the world and it came into existence. There's the parting of the Red Sea, the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, all the miracles that Jesus worked, the multiplication of the loaves and fish and walking on water and raising the dead. And of all these different miracles, you know, every now and again you come across one and you can't help but be a little bit skeptical, like, did that really happen? Did that actually take place? Did that really transpire? Can the Lord really do that? For me, one of the ones that I have the hardest time believing is the miracle that happened in today's first reading. It's like, did that really happen? Did that take place? I don't know if you caught it, but it was in the book of Nehemiah that we don't hear from very often. So Ezra the priest, it says, standing in at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, Ezra brought the law before the assembly, Leviticus basically, which consisted of men and women and those children old enough to understand. Standing there at one end of the place that was before the water gate, he read out loud from the book from daybreak until midday. And the presence of the men and women and the children old enough to understand, and all the people listened attentively. What? No! 6 hours from daybreak till midday? 6 hours? And everyone listened attentively for 6 hours? No. No, can't be. Like, that's a preacher's joke. I read that and I'm like, 6 hours? Oh my gosh, that's... And it's the law of the Lord. He's reading from Leviticus. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Leviticus, but it's a little bit of a snoozer. And I know that's bad. I shouldn't say that. It's the Bible. It's good, and it's the Bible. But, like, it's not exactly gripping, you know? And so, but 6 hours, and the people were locked in? Okay, I think that really to understand that, you need a little bit of background. You need a little bit of history of what was going on with Nehemiah. So again, we don't hear from Nehemiah very often. I think only once or twice in the whole cycle of readings. So it's we don't hear from him. But a little bit of background. What was going on right now? Well, the people had just got back to Jerusalem from the Babylonian exile. 70 years they had been cast out from their own homes. They've been conquered by the Persians, and part of the Persian in their conquests, what they would do to make peoples easier to control is they would take this people from this region and set them over here, and they would take this people from this region and set them over here, and this people from this region, and mix it up. So the people of Israel, tens of thousands of people, have been displaced from Israel. Jerusalem went from a city of a couple hundred thousand, which is a huge city back then, a couple hundred thousand, down to less than 10,000 people. It had been destroyed. Every house was burned. The temple had, the walls had been collapsed. It was a ruins. I mean, imagine New York being decimated for 70 years, abandoned, and then people coming back to New York and digging through the rubble and the dust and the ashes. That's what was happening. Israel had come back. Multiple generations had been an outcast from Israel, living hundreds of miles away in a foreign land. They don't know the language. They don't know the culture. They don't know who their neighbors are. Completely stripped of what had given them their identity. And they come back and they're digging through the dirt and the ashes and the stones. And somebody unearths scrolls that have been preserved. And they bring them out, and Ezra the priest, they build a wooden platform, and he gets up on the platform, and he begins reading the law to the people of Israel. And they weep. And they listen for 6 hours from daybreak until midday. And they're you can just imagine their jaws hit the ground. This is what the Lord gave us. How do we ever lose this? How did this ever get stripped from us? And that's a question worth asking. get back in a time machine and go 100 years beyond that, 100 years back, what was going on in Israel before that, before the Babylonian exile? That's the time of the prophet Jeremiah and several other prophets. And Jeremiah was given specific messages to bring to the people of Israel. Repent. Guys, wake up. Something, we got to change. Things are not going well. The Lord said, if we don't change what's going on, bad things are going to happen. And the people said, forget you, Jeremiah. It's not that bad. And then, lo and behold, the Persians come, wipe out and decimate Israel. Outcasts. And it's the great grandkids of those people who come back and they hear these words and they think, how did we lose this? It's a rebirth of an identity of a people. It's the building, the foundation of a community that was once there and had been stripped and lost. So, what was it that Jeremiah was warning the people of before the fall to Babylon or the Persians? What was it that he was trying to, that the Lord was trying to, hey, wake up, come on. They had abandoned the faith, they had abandoned the worship of the Lord, and in particular, the thing that he was most kind of drilling home is they had abandoned the practice of the Sabbath. They no longer worshiped on the Sabbath. And they no longer practiced the Sabbath, the sabbatical year. Every 7 years in Israel, again, it's laid out in the book of Leviticus, it's laid out every 7 years, the people of Israel were supposed to have a Sabbath year. So just like every 7 days, there's a Sabbath day, every 7 years, there is a Sabbath year. An entire year for the forgiving of debts, for the turning over of just a year where it's like, extra emphasis on the Lord, extra feast days, all those kind of things, and they cast that aside. Nah, we don't need to do that. And even then, every 7 years, there's a Sabbath year, and then every set of seven sevens, the seventh year of set, the seventh time of 7 years, so every 49 years, on the 50th year, was a Jubilee year. This was the whole basis of Israel and how they, their economy, how they operated, the rhythm of their life. Because what they did is every 50 years, every 50th Jubilee year, there was an absolute eradication of all debt. It was the national erasing of debt. So every 50 years, every person, whether they're the richest or the poorest, every 50 years you started debt-free. And land that was sold or rented out, really it was rented, that was historical family ground, every 50 years it reverted back to the original family. And so what you didn't have generational poverty. Because even if your dad got in a bad spot and he had to sell the family farm, 50 years later it came back to you. And so the people of Israel stopped practicing that. The rich became richer and the poor became poorer, stayed poor. They ignored the Jubilee. All slaves, all slavery, the Jews were allowed to own slaves. But on the 50th year, all slaves were set free. It was a year of favor and the people ignored it. And they were warned and they were warned and they were warned and they didn't listen. And it took the destruction of their nation for their great grandkids to finally wake up and say, gosh, we were missing it. You know, even for us, maybe on a much smaller, much, much, much smaller scale, think about COVID for a minute. Think about what happened when masses were canceled and we watched mass online. And even today, 2025, I'm still hearing from people who say, you know, Father, I still, to this day, I haven't got back in the rhythm of life and the rhythm of attending Mass. That there's this diaspora that happened. And like, we're not there. We're not back to where we were before that. And so there's this calling, this constant calling back to repentance, back to a national identity, so to speak. This law of the Lord, and when the law is read out, the people, again, they wept. How could we have forgotten? How could we have turned our backs on the Lord working such great miracles, mighty deeds to give us this? Now, all of this, the proclamation of the word, it's a liturgy of the word that was taking place with Ezra. All of this, why do we get this gospel today? Or excuse me, this first reading today? Because of the gospel. Did you hear what happened with Jesus? He enters the synagogue. It's the beginning of his ministry. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He opens it up and he finds the passage. He intentionally goes about looking for the passage from Isaiah that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, to proclaim a jubilee year." That's what Isaiah was talking about, and that's what Jesus had took from Isaiah and said, "Hey, just so you know, the jubilee year has arrived. It's me." He is the jubilee year, the canceling of debt, the washing out of sin, the removal of slavery. Jesus is the arrival of that new jubilee. It's a different year, different from the other years. Now, that being said, we currently are in a jubilee year. The Catholic Church has a jubilee year. Instead of every 50 years, the Catholic Church celebrates a jubilee every 25. The last one, well, actually, there was an extraordinary and extra jubilee year back in 2015. But now, the year 2000 was a jubilee year. And now we come to 2025. We're celebrating a jubilee year. It just opened up. Pope Francis went to there's doors, kind of like our big doors in the back of the church. There's doors at the outside of St. Peter that are sealed with concrete. And every 25 years, the Pope goes with a hammer and knocks on the doors, and they open those doors up, and they stay open for an entire year. And throughout all the world, there are certain doors that are designated as Jubilee doors. And the cathedral has a set of Jubilee doors. And throughout this year, it goes all the way until January 3rd or 6th or whatever that is. We are in one of those special jubilee years, a year of extra grace, a year of extra indulgences that are offered for pilgrimages and all this kind of stuff. And I'll be preaching more about that throughout the year. You'll hear more about jubilee years and the significance and how we are supposed to be living jubilee years. But I think for our intents and purposes today, just to kind of hear, to be challenged of understanding, like, this law that was lost, and the rejoicing when you relearn anew, remember, the Lord has spoken to us. It's his word that gives us our identity as a community. That's what bases our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. So, yeah. May we enter into this jubilee. May we be living currently the year acceptable to the Lord.